To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Jay here, PositiveSarcasm.com, recorded here from New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast at New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast at New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast. Inside the Spare Parts Studio. Like, subscribe. Ika rika rika. Like, subscribe, share, donate. PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. You can tell it's Monday night because I am tired. Questions, concerns, and comments, email me directly through my website, PositiveSarcasm.com. New article up. It's posted on my YouTube channels and pretty much everywhere else that you can find this podcast. What the hell is it called? I can't remember. Oh, Welcome, Matt. It's about 3 minutes long. That's available at my website, PositiveSarcasm.com, under the article archive section. You can read it, you can watch it, you can listen to it. It's available everywhere. So I'm glad I'm still able to write. That one might, so a few people might not like. But then again, who cares? Email me directly to my website, PositiveSarcasm.com. We need to get to, let's get after it this week. You guys know how to find me this week. Find me on Rumble also, Positive Sarcasm. Instagram at Positive_Sarcasm. Hit me up there. Alright, so. Updates on me. Always gauging myself to people that are 10 years younger than me. I'm already like 40 years old. And people have health ailments at this point. When they're approaching 40, they're already on some type of medication. They're already 40 to 50 pounds overweight. They're already experiencing muscle loss and all kinds of other things. Whereas me, I'm not experiencing any muscle loss, anything. It's during the summertime. I'm following my normal protocols of keeping my body fat way down. I'm actually about 4 pounds away from my stage weight. So the strength is there. The agility is there. And I'm pushing my cardio weightlifting farther than I ever have before. Now, don't worry. Believe me, you do take 2 steps forward, 1 step back when it comes to that, because then you work out really, really hard. And then you kind of taper off a little bit just because it gets exhausting after a while. Your body really does get fatigued. You got to figure out ways to keep your energy levels well up. And I'm trying to figure that out, I think, nutrient-wise. I think maybe iron deficiency. Maybe I'm just low in iron and possible B12 shortage. So things I'm going to experiment with to see if that ramps up my energy levels. Little things that are harmless, like, you know, playing with your iron a little bit, not making it go low, but sending it up a little bit, not a bad idea. And then B12, you really can't. I mean, all the experts say you really can't overdose on the B12. So going to amp that up a little bit and see if I can get a little more out of this body compared to whenever I have pushed this body to the limit. Injury-wise, I am avoiding some serious injuries. The one I was concerned about last week, which may have crept up again this week, was my ACL area got really tight. So as you guys know, I run 3 miles every week. Every Monday, I'll go and run 3 miles in the beautiful town of York. And I do pretty good. You know, I keep up very well. I definitely am in the front of the pack. I run between 6 and 15 people. And I do pretty well. And some of them run like a mile and a half. I run the full 3 miles. But last week I ran with Chase, and I don't know, maybe I pushed it a little too hard because my ACL area got extremely, extremely sensitive, where I was starting to limp as I was getting closer to the 3 mile marker. And I still finished it out like a champ, but man, was I sore the next day. There was definitely some minor limpage, and I was a bit concerned because that is not a situation that you want to play with when it comes to your ACL. That when that snaps, it generally requires surgery. It's an absolute mess. It's not something I want to play with. So I took it kind of easy. I continued. I didn't miss a single workout, though. Not a single workout. I did take it a bit easy on the kicking, and on some of the lunges, but overall I was back after it per normal. Monday I ran, Tuesday I was in the gym. But it is a concern, so I wanted to see how it resolved itself in about 1 week's time. It did resolve itself to the point where I was able to run again, but it did creep up this time, but not as bad. So I did start to feel it a little bit towards that last mile, where it's starting to tighten up somewhat. Very minor gimp in my jogging stride, but overall I got through it. It feels fine right now. I mean, I know it's there. I am paying attention to it, so I do know it's that there is some tightness or whatever there, but there's no pain. So I'm going to continue on with it. I don't know what it was. It might have just been a minor thing where, you know, you just sometimes you get injured for some reason. And I'm not a huge person when it comes to stretching. I generally don't stretch. In the morning, I'll hang from a pull-up bar. I'll open up my back a little bit, and then I'll get right to work. And that's just generally how I've always been when it comes to working out. And my injury levels have been pretty low. But I did pay attention to, as a 40-year-old male, I'm like, how am I compared to other people when it comes to injuries, agility, recovery, just overall? And I have to say, I'm pretty good. Like, I haven't, unless I was doing something else, I've never missed a 3-mile run due to injury. I'm not missing, I mean, did I miss a few days of the gym due to food poisoning? Yes. I don't know if you consider that an injury or not. Certainly felt like one. But other than that, no, I feel pretty good. I feel lean. I'm sleeping well. My edible intake is down to a bare minimum. I'm taking so they come in 10 milligram increments. You can break them into fives. I'm taking maybe, to get rest, maybe 2 milligrams at this point. 2 milligrams gets me through an entire night's sleep at this point, where I am so relaxed and ready to sleep, and it's great. Like, it's a great feeling. I mean, I first started out trying 10, almost 20 milligrams, and I would last maybe 4 hours. Now I'm on I went from a full sleep-based edible to a hybrid, and I'm only taking maybe 2 milligrams of that, like little nibbles of it before I go to sleep. And I feel wonderful. So the injuries not really bothering me all that much. The weight down significantly, about 174 pounds, probably be about 173 by the end of this week. And the weather gods have rewarded me for such hard work, where it's been beautiful out. I've been going for drives, been hitting the beach, enjoyed a beautiful weekend by the lakes region, and the weather has not been in my way. So it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been a fantastic summer so far. Now, financially, I'm not going to go into it too much, but I'm making financial preparations for multiple items, and I'm starting to. And I obviously got my spending. I let my spending get away from me a little bit between February and April, but now I'm in this bandwagon where, like, okay, after May, it's like, let's lock it down and get all this stuff taken care of. And I'm making heavy payments to crush all of my credit cards. So by the time that summer ends, I will be in such good shape. Now, physically, I have no ailments, so obviously I'm not going to have to attend to my needs on that. It's great. Like, physically, feel great. Financially, I have plans. This new path that I've taken of just getting after it, where I was before, but I was getting after it with a little too much anger. And that was kind of sending me off into a path where I was being more of a hindrance to myself to accomplish things than an actual resolving the problem. But now it's just like, let's go. Let's get stuff done. And I do reward myself a little bit but not to the point where I'm paying for it all week. And it's been great. So physically, yeah, I feel like I am 30. Physically, I lift, I run, I perform, and I do feel relatively young compared to other people who look like they're my age, but I feel like their age. I don't know. Does that make sense? I'm probably gonna be. This water is gonna be empty before the end of this podcast. And it's not. This is not a very long podcast, as you guys know. I don't know what's going on with Dig.com. Apparently, it's down, but that's okay. We can always switch to AITAH, courtesy of Reddit. So if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, still down. Ha ha ha. Questions, concerns, comments. You can hit me up on my website, positivesarcasm.com. Another thing. I was talking to a friend of mine who I had a conversation with about divorce. Not me, but him. Him having this thing. And we started off with the conversation that he was supposed to have with his significant other. Asking the question, are you happy? And he obviously wasn't. And he's essentially done now. They're all done. But he took a very peaceful approach, where the lawyers didn't really have to get involved. He made it so it was an easy transition for everyone. Did sell his house, moved into a condo, is thinking about relocating his life towards maybe the seacoast, where I've also invited my nephew to possibly take advantage of. And it's been a beautiful life down here, and I strongly encourage people to make your bones towards the seacoast if you can. I mean, if you're a country person, I get it and I respect it, but move away from those cities. If you have a city maybe within 10-20 minutes of you, okay, fine. But move into the countryside. Move into the rural areas. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They're peaceful. And now that he's getting his life situated, taking care of the things that he wants to take care of, stop drinking, is focusing on his health, his well-being, his own finances, that now he's making some decisions that will overall benefit his life. And he's got probably about 10 years on me. But it's not like he just sat there in his own misery. He decided to make some changes. And one of them is a very tough change to make. A lot of people don't make this change. They just stay in the same relationship forever and ever and ever. And when push comes to shove, you either improve that relationship or you end it. And there was no motivation to improve it. I guess at that point, I mean, to be perfectly polite, on either party's part. So it's best to just part ways. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is this conversation was sincere that I had for him, and I supported his decision making. And obviously, he's got some work cut out for himself to improve himself. But doing the right thing and not dragging other people along and trying to make a life for yourself where you feel like you're actually contributing to society and that you're enjoying your peace and quiet and making some adjustments. Like, hey, not drinking for a couple months is not a bad idea. Getting to the gym, not a bad idea. Changing your diet, not a bad idea. Changing the scenery, not a bad idea. Focusing on work and other things that improve yourself or other things. Yeah, great. Awesome. So these are little things and big things when you mix them together to better your own situation. It takes a person, if you are willing to commit to 1 year of just pure self-improvement, financial, physical, mental, for 1 year, true commitment, the amount of difference you can make in your own life is unrecognizable. I mean, we're talking cosmic changes. The changes I made in my life took me about 3 months. 3 months, because I changed myself dramatically as far as the effort I was putting in and showing. People saw it. To control my emotions, to work hard, to physically change my body again, as I've done before, to financially take even more responsibility than I already have, and not burn myself out at the same time. So he did it, I did it. Now, 3 months might be a little bit much for most people, but if you spend a year, a solid 12 months of just pure self-improvement, the person that will emerge at the end of that year will be somebody who you either haven't recognized in 15, 20 years, or a person you've never recognized at all. Somebody completely different who you just didn't know existed to begin with. Now, 1 year is a true marker of physical. It's a true marker for financial. It's a true marker for mental. Because when you look back at those changes, you go, Jesus, I was wrecked at the beginning of this year. And look at me now. It's like, I don't answer to anybody. Nor should you. You alone are the person you need to answer to. So that's the thing I was trying to convey to him to some extent, but I felt like he knew what he needed to do. But as far as addressing the relationship crisis, he did that. And we talked about it, and ultimately he made a decision that was best for both parties, where they do what they need to do, and he does what he needs to do. Otherwise, it leads to infidelity or misery and arguing and just overall other health problems, and it's not worth it. Start from scratch at any age, whether you're trying to improve a relationship or change your lifestyle. It's never too late, I don't think. Anyways, we're at 16 minutes. I did actually want to get some Q&A out of this, so let's go ahead and dive into AITAH, courtesy of Reddit. Okay. I hope my rants sometimes make some sort of sense, because they make sense to me, and because I've made such significant progress in my own life, I feel like these rants definitely have some value to them, that maybe if you just don't get it off the bat, maybe you should ask me, hey Jay, what are you talking about when you talk about this financial stuff? Okay, I'll dive into this. When it comes to physical, okay, dive into this. When it comes to mental, okay, dive into this. These are the things that I did to improve myself. I think these are applicable to your life as well, to a certain extent. Try these, or no, actually, do these, and then get back to me. Let me see how much effort you're willing to put in 3 months, let alone 1 year. The article. We're getting into the question and answer now. I, 50-year-old female, am the eldest of divorced parents. My father is happily remarried with more kids, but my mother stayed single and relies on me and my younger brother, 45, to come help her in her retirement village regularly. It's a flight and a rental car to get her, so it's kind of a pain. What makes this worse is that my younger brother, who is single with no kids, will never go down when she needs something. Only when it aligns with his schedule. So he'll go down during his summer vacation and then help with things like moving furniture or taking her car in to be serviced, okay? However, if it's an emergency of any kind, it's all on me. I'm married with kids in school and decent career and a side gig. But all hell breaks loose if I don't go. Passive-aggressive texts, relatives pestering, etc. When I ask anyone if I could step in, the answer is, but you're the one she wants. How big of a deal can this be? The woman is the most accident and illness prone human you'll meet. And it's all for real in the last few years. It's been a head-on car collision, cancer twice, another car accident, T-boned, and pneumonia. So it wasn't like this growing up just since retiring. So even staying the least amount of days to the point of having to go back when the caregiver I found flaked, I burned through PTO, cashed in savings, left the kids to have milestones without me, and usually when I'm with her, she talks on and on about my golden brother, seeing how he hung that new picture when he was here. He's so handy, knowing as hell, but I've had a lifetime to get used to it. Some months ago, I found out by accident that except for some small amounts for my kids, she's leaving everything to my brother. It will be a decent amount, $250,000. I was so perplexed and admittingly hurt. She refused to talk about it. I hung up on me and ignored text, so I stuck trying to figure out when I did make her decide to do this. Eventually, one of the siblings told me that it was to ensure my brother can retire comfortably. He's always worked low-wage jobs. However, he has few expenses because he lives completely free with a wealthy relative who has a large home that he will also be inheriting. Recently, she had another accident and called me to help. I got the call from the hospital and then her rehab center because even though my brother is her medical POA, I've always the same name and number she gives out. When I didn't say I'd be coming, she sent text complaining how hard it is to not be able to drive or do many things and pushed for my travel plans. My love for her and care for her was never based on money. She's my mom. But I ended up telling her I couldn't come down. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I know she's in pain and struggling. I know that her siblings and friends are too old and too far to be much help. But in a moment of spite, I told her to get my brother to do it. And of course, she defended him and added that he couldn't, as a guy, help with some things. My spouse says I'm in the right and that I prioritize her needs all my life. And even if it's because of the will, it was past time for me to stop doing everything. But others, especially family, can't understand why I haven't gone down yet, and I ended up feeling so disappointed in myself. Mom sends me woe is me texts about how she will manage without me, even though everything's a struggle. The injuries are legitimately difficult. Now she's sending texts about how she understands I'm too busy, and she'll call the youngest of her siblings, who's a 67-year-old female, if she has to. Am I the asshole for leaving my injured mom on her own because she cut me out of the will? So, $250,000. So yeah, she left some money for your kids, but you burned through your PTO and cashed in your savings. Left the kids to have milestones without me. Oh. And then proceeds to give your brother, for everything that you've cashed in, $250,000. And you get nothing other than some money for your kids. Where she could have probably used that money to hire like an assistant, you'd think, right? He's working low-wage jobs. That's his choice, right? So, this is a hard to say, but I think mommy made a mistake here, and I think mommy's paying the price legitimately for it. At the end of all said and done, you have a family to take care of. You have a job to attend. You have to build up your own savings. And you have to take care of this family. It's important. It's what you're the dad. And you're getting left basically out of the will. And $250,000 goes to the other brother. I think you set your standard now. I think it's time to set your standard that you're saying, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. You send me depressing texts. You always talk about my other brother. So I think I'm good here. I've busted my ass for you, and I didn't want anything out of it, but to hear that instead of spending $250,000 to get like an assistance for yourself, you're just gonna give it to the other brother who works low wage jobs for any reason. Okay. Hey Ma, why don't you do us all a favor and just kick rocks? Because that's pretty insulting that you would give $250,000 after your passing to his brother instead of to the brother that was putting in all the effort, cashing in all their PTO, having to jump on a plane and a rental car. He's got kids. He needs to take care of his kids. I understand it is in many cultures responsibility to take care of your mom. This is I'll say this, it's a bit of a stretch. Okay. And she always talks about the golden brother. Well, how golden is he? It's just golden in her mind because he's the younger brother, or he did something to appease her when she was younger. Let's see, $250,000, perplexed and admittingly hurt. Yeah. Because you feel like you've been doing all the work, taking care of her all the time. And a 50-year-old female, that's what she is. And she's getting nothing out of it. I think I wouldn't show up after a while. Especially when 250 grand could have been spent on getting an assistant for you. Nobody needs that. You could do some things. You could give some of that money away and then use some of it on an assistant, but my God, I totally get excuse me. I totally get where you're coming from. And I think I would probably be the same way if I found out that information about that money not potentially being there for you. Even if it wasn't there for you, I mean, if as long as he's not getting any, I mean, I get it. If he gets a little bit more, that's one thing. But you haven't, you're not receiving a single straw other than the exception of your children. So, disrespectful, depressing, dramatic, all things that describe your mother at this time. It's don't waste your time. You've got more important things to do. You've got family, you've got friends, you've got property. This is the stuff you need to focus on, and not this ungrateful woman who is just dragging you through the mud every chance she gets. So we're just over 25 minutes. Let's go ahead and close up shop for this week. I only got to do one dig.com Q&A, but I know I'm pushing it tonight, so we'll go ahead and close it. If you have questions, concerns, or your own comments for this particular podcast, that Q&A, excuse me, hit up my website, PositiveSarcasm.com. Go ahead and just send me an email through there. Let me know what you think of the brother, the other brother, the question in general, and the mom's reaction to all of it. You can find this podcast anywhere where podcasts are available. iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Spotify, all of them. All available. And, of course, YouTube and Rumble for the video version. So, in the meantime, what else did I forget? I don't think so. YouTube and Rumble. Anyways, thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing. And I'll check in with you all next week. Recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio. For entertainment purposes only, this has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation. No.